The message today has the title, God Sees the Unseen. God Sees the Unseen. And I'm sure as you sit there, you may come up with some other more fitting words that could go across the top in bold with underline and an exclamation mark at the end, which is what I have on my paper. But the essence of it, I pray that as we listen today that we will get the messages that God has prepared for each one of us. It begins in a factory somewhere on the other side of the world, perhaps in China, because everything is made in China. And then it's shipped across thousands of miles to make its way to a supermarket shelf or a warehouse. And it is then transported in your shopping basket or by some other means to a shelf in your home or to some other storage place. And then it so quickly goes out of the house again as trash, disposed as waste. And indeed, so much of what we buy today is garbage. So much of what we spend money for is garbage. Not just in the contents, but in the packaging. The soap has plastic over it, and then there's another paper over it, and you just open it and throw it away. And I'm sure you're paying for that plastic and that paper too. So the story is told of a father who wanted to teach his daughter, whose name is Anna, a valuable lesson about God. And so he took her for a drive to the city dump, the public dump, the landfill, where all the garbage from the city was thrown. And the daughter, Anna, looked at him puzzled, like, why are we parking here at this smelly old place? Anna asked her father. Her dad turned to her and asked, what do you see before you, Anna? So Anna, puzzled, asked if it was a trick question. What else is there to see but garbage? Her father laughed and said, oh, Anna, what I see is potential. Valuable items that persons have given up on much too quickly. With a little work, some of them can be fixed up and used again. That's how God sees us. Let us pray. Father, as we, your children, have come today, we pray that you let your Holy Spirit abide with us. And as we wait, dear God, record this moment in eternity. May souls be drawn closer to you. And may we leave from here revived and renewed and restored and looking to serve you better than we did yesterday. And may today be only a fraction of what tomorrow will be. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was blessed the other day to have a conversation with someone about something quite despicable. Smelly and disgusting, it obnoxious sometimes. Vile and wretched. The conversation, I'm sure you can guess, was about garbage. And the things that we throw away as refuse. The trash that we pay such little regard to. It was the weirdest thing, but quite enlightening. Some of the thoughts which came out of that conversation have gone into the message for today. Have you noticed how wasteful we are as a society? That we are so quick to throw away stuff if it gets broken or gives a little trouble. And we are very quick to buy. It used to be the saying went like this, that I think and therefore I am. Which means that because I can have a thought, then therefore I exist. So the saying was, I think and therefore I am. But in today's world, I'm sure the saying would go like this. I shop and therefore I am. For we love to buy. It's a meeting place when we go to the supermarkets, and it's like a hangout spot. So, we love to shop and get new stuff. But as soon as it gets a little old, a little used, or we get bored with it, we are ready for a new one. Mm-hmm. We have this insatiable appetite. That means it's ravenous. It just needs to be fed more and more and more. This insatiable appetite for new things, it seems. But as a result, one of the richest places here on this island in terms of availability of items and money value is the garbage dump, because we throw away so many things which are of value and can be cleaned up. I have heard of folks digging through the garbage bin to find an item or items thrown away mistakenly or intentionally. I had to do it recently too. There were some shells which were collected, and they were thrown in the garbage bin mistakenly. I had to go looking, digging for those shells. They were in a bag. Thankfully, I found them. And I felt, before the garbage truck came, I felt happy when I found them. Not only because the shells were found, but it saved me from a trip to the doghouse. I cleaned them up as best I could and put them where they should have been. So we do generate a lot of garbage, though. But a lot of it is good stuff, things of value. So I want to pause here and say thank you to those who collect our garbage always, persons who we may take for granted sometimes. There was, I think it was President Ronald Reagan, he was shot and in the hospital, and the country went on functioning without him being actively in the position as president, for there were others to come along and pull up the slack. There were systems in place for that. But 1 3-week strike of sanitation workers in a city can leave that place filled with garbage, diseases, rodents, the scent, everything being not good for our health. Just a strike by those sanitation workers can shut down a place. Now, back to the story that I told earlier. Just like the father in the story, God sees beyond our brokenness and our filthy lives. Amen? God, our Father, our Creator, wishes to rescue us and clean us up from that garbage dump of sin and revive us and renew us, restore and redeem us. He sees the good in us and wishes to protect us from the destiny that would meet garbage one day. For the garbage that we throw away is destined to be destroyed, most likely by fire. Mm-hmm. We see trash, but God sees treasure. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 reveals to us that God does not want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Man does not see as God sees. God is ever-present. He is all-seeing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. That's the kind of God we serve. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's turn there. And I want you to read that verse of scripture for me. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. After 2:1-2, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Amen. So before we were formed and nurtured in the wombs of our mothers, God knew us, and he loved us. He knows our beginning and our end. With God, there is no one who is beyond repair. Amen. So this quarter, our lesson focuses on origins, right? Yeah. Lesson 5 speaks about creation and morality. And God shows how God lovingly shaped Adam from the dust of the ground. It was personal for him. Let's turn to Genesis, the second chapter, and read verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, for man, dust of the earth, of life, and man became a living soul. So God lovingly reached down and formed man from the dust of the ground, molded him like the clay in the potter's hand. Now, a joiner is somebody who makes furniture and other things by cutting and fitting joints in woods without the use of nails, screws, or other metal fasteners. So, when you go to a joiner and he makes a chair for you and that chair gets broken, do you just throw the chair away? I know some persons may, but can the joiner be expected to fix it back? Yes. Then why do we sometimes feel that we are beyond repair? Why do we doubt the ability of the Creator to recreate us and make us anew? We read in, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 18, as we read for our scripture. There we see, my friends, that the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. Perhaps it was cracked a little under the heat being applied to it. But what is important, though, is that the clay was not discarded. It was not thrown away for a new batch. It still had potential. And the potter used that same clay and made it into another vessel. So we too are like that mad piece of clay with the defect. Many of us have done things that we are ashamed of. Many of us have hurt our loved ones and failed to live a life that is pleasing to God. Children, some of you may have been disobedient to your parents or your teachers or told a lie on a friend. And we feel worthless and useless. But remember, however, that God, what God told Israel in verse 6 of Jeremiah 18, can I not do with you as this potter? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. God can make us anew. Friends, though the world may look at you and see an unworthy sinner, God looks at you and sees a child ready to be saved. His treasure. God does not see as man sees. Jeremiah 17th chapter and verse 7 tells us, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Now Rahab, back in Jericho, must have been considered garbage by the decent thinking people of Jericho. She probably dressed vulgar and was very flirtatious. She was a prostitute, according to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. Turn there for me, please. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. After two, let us read. So here we see evidence from the scripture clearly identifying Rahab. The language there says harlot. It means that she was a prostitute. Do we think that prostitutes are good persons in society? No. The answer came back quickly, unless we want to be politically correct, in which case, in today's world, nothing seems to be either right or wrong, but according to the circumstances. But the answer is no. They are not viewed as being good persons in society. Yet Hebrews 11, a chapter that sometimes has been referred to as the Hall of Faith of the Bible, mentions this prostitute Rahab along with others such as Moses and Abraham and others who exercised their faith and allowed God to clean them up from their own garbage dumps. Though considered trash in Jericho, Rahab allowed God to use her to save the two spies sent out by Joshua. What is even more important, however, is that this Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of David and is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is one of her descendants. See Matthew chapter 1. Don't we see that because we were bought with a price that we could never be considered trash before God? Sin makes us dirty, yes, and useless, but the blood of Jesus, I said the blood of Jesus has the ability to cleanse us and make us anew. And this is real. This is not just some figment of our imagination. This is not just a television show or some entertainment package which we watch so many times on television. This is reality. Pinch yourself. This is real. Not too hard. Yourself, not somebody else. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Let's turn there. What does it say? Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Reading. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. And this scripture is speaking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace being upon him, but we are healed with his stripes. I recently heard a peculiar story about a family in Wyoming in the United States that had gone to their local dump to dispose of some unwanted family items that were either busted or greatly abused. So as they were emptying the junk into a large dumpster, the man of the home saw something that caught his eye. It was apparently an ornate antique four-poster bed that had been left there by some other family. It was the other family's junk, and they had put it in the landfill. So the family was there, came to bring their junk, and saw somebody else's junk. So the man called to his wife to have her look at it as well. And after a few moments of discussion, they both agreed that it was most likely something that could be restored to its original condition. So even though it was a bit worn and tattered, they began to inquire about the possibility with the management staff of the refuse center. They found that there was no problem with taking the grand piece of junk home if they would just pay a small fee for a few dollars. Of a few dollars, sorry. They proceeded to load the headboard, the footboard, and the wooden rails into the back of their pickup and pull along trailer. As they were loading the posts, however, which were in separate pieces, they began to question why was this post so heavy. The husband felt that they were quite a bit heavier than he had imagined they would be. But they finally got them all in the truck and drove home. When they got home, the husband backed the truck in, and the trailer into this driveway with the assistance of his wife and the eldest son. And then they proceeded to unload the bed one piece at a time. But to their amazement, as their son picked up one end of the first bedpost, the screw at the top came loose and slipped out of the socket. Thankfully, they were standing in the front yard and a nearby hedge broke the fall and caught the post. But suddenly they heard the weirdest thing. Sound effects and all. As they turned to look toward the area of the noise, something caught the glimpse of the father's eye. A few silver coins tumbled to the ground near the base of the bush. After picking up the loose coins, he looked into the open end of the bedpost, and to his surprise, there were more silver coins inside. So with the help of his son, he got curious now. He picked up the opposing end, and hundreds of silver, brass, and gold coins came rolling out onto the lawn. Many of the gold coins dated back into the 1800s, and almost all of the coins were in perfect condition. They call it mint condition, as if they just come from the mint. They were freshly made. They were in that condition. So after close inspection of the other three posts, guess what? They too were completely hollow and contained equal amounts of coinage. Amazing stuff. I'm sure some of us would like to come across a find like that. The finest of treasures in the least likely of places. Now, to hear stories like that always brings a great thrill. Who knows? Maybe the next time one of you goes to the dump, we may find something. One man's trash is another man's treasure. But why am I telling this story? Many persons have been cast away like that broken down old bed. That young man hooked on marijuana or alcohol. He has been scorned. He was a member of this church, but the effects of sin has entered his life. Some members may even turn their noses in disgust when the young man is seen and determined. What a waste. Well, thankfully, God does not see as man sees. When God sent the prophet Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint the chosen king of Israel, Jesse brought before the prophet all of his sons who were tall and mighty in stature. His eldest sons, whom he believed would have been the obvious choice for Samuel to anoint, they were overlooked. Let us turn to 1 Samuel 16 and 1 Samuel chapter 16. Going down from verse 6. 1 Samuel 16 from verse 6. After 2:1-2. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And as he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here we see, the most likely, the usual suspects were not chosen. The most likely, according to man, if man had to choose, were not chosen. But rather David was chosen. And I'm not saying, trying to suggest that David's father called him trash, but I'm trying to demonstrate that God does not see things and people as we see them. David was the youngest of his father's children. And there may be times, young people, when folks may want to make you feel less than you are, as if you have to follow them to do or say some bad thing or else you'll be all alone. Or that you can't say a word for Jesus, because to speak of Jesus or about Jesus would be so, I don't know what the term is that the young persons would use, unwelcoming. I don't know what the acronym is that you guys would use for this term, as you so often do in your communication today. But what I do know is that now is the time to tell someone about Jesus, about the Jesus that you know. Now is the time to be intentional about leading your friends to Jesus. Now is the time to let everyone know whose you are and who you are. Tell your friends and the friends of your friends, your best friends and the ones who you may not know so well. Tell your teachers. Amen. I can never claim to know all the ins and outs of the young person's world. And I won't even try to be an imposter and pretend that I do. But no one understands the way this youth culture works like you young people do. So yes, you young man and young woman and boy and girl, there is no one who can reach your friends like you can. Soon and very soon you will go out on one path in life and they will go on another. Soon whatever influence you may have on their decisions that they will make will have no effect. Soon and very soon the influences of this world will be so strong that folks will want to hurt you physically, to beat you up for telling them about Jesus. So now is the time to do it before it's too late. Now is the time to reach them, not only to come to church, but to reach them for Jesus, amen, the one who died so that we may live. Do you know him? How is your relationship with him? For if we don't know him, there can be nothing for us to tell others about. So get to know him better. Amen. Now is the time to get to know Jesus on a whole other level. To read more, to study more, to pray more. Yes. To share more, to learn more about him. Now is the time. But here's a little secret. In case you feel that you don't know enough about the Bible and about Jesus to tell others, if we step out in faith, one step at a time, with the little sharing that we give to others, God will increase what we know. So as we study, pray, and share, we will be amazed at how much we actually know. If we need help, if you need help, please ask. This is a most important work. People need to know. Only you can reach your friends the way you can. So now is the time. to know Jesus more, to share Jesus more, to care more, to speak more, to listen more. For on you he will the Holy Spirit pour. With your knees on the floor, pray more. Your salvation will be sure. Yet if no one listens, do it still. Now is the time to pray and fast, not just a fast for a few hours from food, but for a whole week. Yes, for a whole week, fast from something, that thing which is distracting you from having that closer relationship with God. Fast from the computer for a week, from the phone, the television, or that type of music which is messing with your mind. Starve it, don't feed it, and then the influence will get less and less. Fast from the garbage that we bring into our lives each day, or rather, second by second. For the truth is, we do gather a lot of junk. Not just physically, but otherwise as well. And if we were to sit quietly for a moment, I'm sure we can feel it bouncing around inside. Jesus did come to seek and save the lost. If we have been saved, then strive to see someone else saved as well. This is our mission. Remember our first love, 1 John 4:19. If we love God, we love God because he first loved us. Oh, wonderful thought it is. We can be redeemed today. Cleaned up, restored, revived, renewed, and saved to help to save others. Let us stage a revolution against this Babylonish system that throws us onto the garbage heap and keeps us there day in and day out. Let us have a new thought about an ancient thing. God loves you, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us. Will we accept him today? For soon and very soon, we are going to see the King coming in glory. Soon and very soon. I want to say a quote from a famous quote maker by the name of They. They, T-H-E-Y. And I'll give you a test. They say, YOLO, Y-O-L-O. Does anybody know what it means? You only live once. They say that you only live once. But that doesn't have to be true for you. Because God has promised eternal life if we are true and faithful to him. Start living for eternity today and tell others about your choice and about your Jesus. Sometimes in this materialistic world, we are too quick to throw away items that can be fixed again. One of the legs on your chairs is broken, so instead of replacing it, we buy a new one. But it's heartening to know that God does not discard us so quickly. Many have wrestled with the question, why did not God destroy Adam and Eve and start over? You see, although Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, my friends, it continues to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible gives several illustrations of how valuable we are to God, even when we are rotten with sin and reek of selfishness, greed, and deceit. Luke 15:2 shows us that the Pharisees and scribes murmured about something Jesus did. Do you know why? Let's turn there quickly. Luke 15 and verse 2. Why were the scribes and Pharisees murmuring about what Jesus did? The the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees saw condemned sinners, but Jesus saw souls to be saved. Further on in the chapter tells us about the prodigal son. Having squandered his inheritance, he returned to his father dirty, ragged, and unkempt. His clothing was soaked and stained with pig's waste and mud. And every day he stole from the pigs just to survive. But his father didn't turn him back and demand that he get cleaned up first. But instead he lovingly embraced his son. The father rejoiced that his son was now safe and home again. That is our God. He made us, and he has the ability, if we will let him, to remake us. There was a pastor who recounted his experience while visiting Manila in the Philippines. Several years ago, while he was there, they took him of all places to the city dump. And there he saw something that was beyond belief. There were tens of thousands of people making their homes on that dump. They constructed their shacks out of the things other persons had thrown away. And they would send their children out early in the morning to scavenge for food out of other people's garbage so they can have family meals. People have been born there on the dump. People grew up there on the garbage dump. They have made their families their shacks, they have their families, their children, their shacks, their garbage to eat, and finished out their lives and died right there without ever going anywhere else. Even in the city of Manila. It's an astonishing thing. It's amazing. Hard to comprehend. But what is even more amazing is the journey from heaven to earth that the Son of God made. And he knew what he was doing, coming to this place mad with sin, like the garbage dump. He knew what he was doing when he came here. He knew that the sacrifice would be when he journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race. So always remember that no matter how far under the garbage and how many years you have been, you or I have been on the garbage dump, that God is not willing for any of us to perish. God sees not as we see. He wants to clean us up and to make us new again. The garbage dump of sin and pain and disease that comes with it does not have to be where we spend our lives, only to be destroyed by the fire that is to come. Now is the time. Soon and very soon, the King is coming again. Love him today. He wants your all. Amen. And I'd like to invite us to stand as we pray. If we are saying today that we are willing for God to clean us up and to remove us from the garbage heap of sin, let us sing the first two stanzas of Whiter Than Snow. Actually, let's sing the whole song. Whiter Than Snow, number 318. We are saying that we are willing today for God to clean us up, and that we will not be so quick to write off people. We will not be so quick to even discard our own relationship with God when things get bad and to dispose it. But we are saying that we believe that God is able to save us, to renew, to revive us, to make us anew, and most importantly, to redeem us. Thank you. Dear God and our Father, we thank you for what has transpired today. We thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. We are thankful, dear God, to know that we don't have to remain on the garbage heap of sin, but you have promised, according to your word, you don't want to see anyone perish, but for all to come to repentance and to have eternal life in Jesus. So, Father, today we pray that our prayer would be that you would wash us and make us whiter than snow. Remove anything that is unlike you, dear God, and may we consecrate ourselves daily to you, knowing and understanding that you're coming, that the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is very soon, even at the door. May we commit from this point forward to always put you first in everything, to go out to spread your message to others who have not heard it, who may have heard it and rejected it, but You are a God of second chances, and we thank you for that, for if it weren't for that, many of us won't be here today. So Father, thank you for spared lives. Thank you for the ones who came this moment for this time to hear this message. Dear God, now we pray that your word would find lodging place in our heart, and that it will quicken us to serve you better. We pray in Jesus' name.